for one last pastime. There was one boy who showed up at our Paris temple one morning. He was a Portuguese boy who didn't speak such good English. And I used to see him because I used to chant my japa outside the temple along Avenue Foch, near the Arc de Triomphe. And he used to sleep in the bushes along the roadside. He had his green army jacket and his green pants, what must have once been white socks, but they were black, and just these horrible smelling shoes, and like kind of like lice, or he had some kind of skin disease in his hair or something. And he was a little crazy. Maybe not a little crazy, he was out there, just by birth or something. And he always had to have like bugs on him. So we nicknamed him Pigpen, after a Schultz, is it? He has some cartoon thing. Pigpen's just this little kid who's always dirty. We nicknamed him Pigpen. Some other, you know, Pigpen became attracted to the devotees. He must have been about 17 years of age. Not a young boy, just a vagabond. And you know, the kind of person everybody just like spit on when they walk by. Nobody gave him any attention, and probably tried to beg, and you know, he had some bruises. Probably people beat him sometimes because he had a stutter like that. So people would make fun of him, and he was kind of on the block. He lived in this kind of area. Didn't go much farther because he was kind of retarded or something. See, so he used to come around, and we used to give him food. Like just, you know, shove it out the door and close the door kind of thing. He was eating prasadam like that. So then one time Prabhupada came to the temple, and Prabhupada wanted to go on a morning walk. So, you know, Pigpen had been around, so he knew some of the jargon, some of the talk devotees, you know, because he'd been around, he'd stick around a little bit. He'd try to come in, and people would throw him out, push him out, get out, you piggy. You know, I mean, because he was just such an outrageous character, devotees couldn't handle him. And he was always trying to get in, you know. And so some devotees tried to talk to him, you know. He got to know the devotees a little bit. So then Prabhupada came, and Pigpen was there for the reception. And poor Pigpen, you know, the devotees just wouldn't let him come for seeing, but we were so ashamed of him. You know, this guy was hanging around the block. So, you know, we just push him back, and then. But he wanted to see Prabhupada. He'd heard about Prabhupada. He wanted to see Prabhupada. Couldn't get close. So one morning, we were on a morning walk, and I was right near Prabhupada, and we were walking. All of a sudden, Pigpen leapt out of the bushes. You know, he had these like filthy blankets and sheets that were just muddy and soiled, and He just woke up and saw Prabhupada. He left like the monster, the Loch Ness or something. He just, and he grabbed Prabhupada's feet. And he said, "Prabhupada, mercy, mercy, look at me, mercy." And it just took 10 seconds for the brahmacharis to worked him over. It took him in the bushes. And I said, no, don't do that. They didn't really hurt him. They just kind of messed. They just wanted to impress upon him that he should never do anything like that again. You know, Prabhupada was surprised. Prabhupada was a little shook, you know. He said, what is that? And we said, Pigpen. Yeah. Prabhupada got the idea and went, oh, hey, Krishna. I remember the way Prabhupada said it, he didn't say it like we did, you know. He went, hey, Krishna. There was some tone of concern in his voice. So he went on the walk. And came back, you know, and then we came in. The whole temple was on that walk. Every man, woman, and child was on that. Everybody was talking. That Pigpen, that dirty, filthy, you know, touch our spiritual master's feet, ask for mercy. You know. So we got back to the temple, and you know, we let Prabhupada into the temple room first. So we opened the door and let Prabhupada in, and suddenly Pigpen, he got into the temple because there are no devotees there. He was in the temple. He leapt again. He leapt forward and grabbed both of Prabhupada's feet and started crying, "Mercy! Mercy! Mercy!" And so the temple was said, "Brahmacharis, get him!" And Prabhupada said, "No." It was just like that. "No," Prabhupada said, "No." And then, you know, it was silence, complete silence. And Pigpen was just crying. He was holding Prabhupada's feet, just crying. "Mercy, Prabhupada, please see me." He said, he couldn't speak, he was going to "See me. See me, look how I am, so dirty. My heart also dirty, please." Prabhupada just stood there. Must have been 6 minutes. We were dumbfounded. And Prabhupada was just rubbing his head. "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna." And Pigpen was shaking, crying. And Prabhupada was just rubbing his head. He said, "All right, that's enough." And then Pigpen backed off, sat against the wall. Prabhupada said, "Let him stay." We feel so ashamed, you know. Prabhupada just absorbed, you know, his karma. And he would give it simultaneously through his feet. This is my understanding. And rubbing his head, he was giving him so much compassion. I was thinking afterwards, just like Lord Chaitanya had embraced Jagai and Madhai. When Lord Chaitanya embraced Jagai and Madhai, Lord Gauranga was golden, but his body turned black from absorbing the sins of Jagai and Madhai. His body looked, the devotees were stunned. By absorbing the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madhai, and Mahaprabhu said, "Anyone who ever offends a Vaishnava will get the full manifestation of these sinful reactions of Jagai and Madhai upon their head after that. Anyone who offends a Vaishnava, he'll get this karma of Jagai and Madhai." And then his body turned golden again. So Prabhupada, Pigpen, he got some mercy. And you know, we were shocked. This is a long time Prabhupada stood there. A long time. And he's just rubbing his head. "Hare Krishna." Prabhupada saying to himself, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare." Pigpen's crying, "See me, see me." I remember, "See me, see me." So Pigpen was, you know, against the wall. And Prabhupada was giving class. And I kept looking over at Pigpen. And Pigpen was, you know, he was like listening to Prabhupada's class. I was going, "You know, Pigpen, listen to Prabhupada's class." Pigpen listened to Prabhupada's class. So then, you know, Prabhupada was talking about book distribution in that class. He said, "Please distribute these books all over the world." And Pigpen was, "Yeah, okay." He was like that. "Yeah, oh, okay." So after the class, Pigpen was just sitting there. But he, you know, he got some beads in there. "Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna." He was trying it, but he was stuttered and he was a little retarded. I would let him sit there for a while, you know. But something changed, so nobody was going to touch him. He was Prabhupada's man. As far as we were concerned, he was Prabhupada's man now. So the temple president said, "All right, take him upstairs and scrub him." So, you know, devotees, you know, they took him upstairs, they bathed him, they said like rivers of dirt were going down the drain. Rivers, you know. They put him in some bhakta pants and some clothes, you know. But he was still, you know, a bit mad. So then, you know, Prabhupada left. That was it, Prabhupada left, but Pigpen remained. And we were stuck with this Pigpen, you know. But, you know, everyone kind of liked him now because he was the special recipient of Prabhupada's mercy. So he's kind of like our, what do you call that when you have like a mascot? Kind of our mascot. We kind of kept him around. But still, you know, we weren't so kind to him. And then one day, you know, he was the one, he'd wash the pots, he'd clean the toilets, things like that. And all the time, he was getting it. Krishna, Krishna, like that. One day he just disappeared. He wasn't there. And the person in the go-down where the books were, he said, "Some books are missing. Someone stole them." Because we were really careful about the books. Even one book was misplaced. The books were missing. So then we figured Pigpen stole the books. He was going to try to sell the books to get money. So that, you know, we were going to call the police. But we were all engaged in service. So that night, you know, we were all having Bhagavad Gita class or something, and then Pigpen walked in. And the reaction was, you know, Pigpen. There's no books, but he had this money in his hands. So he came and he just gave it to the temple president and sat down. So then later we walked over and he said, what happened? He said, books. Prabhupada, books. Somehow or other, even with his stutter and his kind of retarded nature, he distributed, you know, like 1,000 francs of books, like $200 worth of books. And then we were thinking, you know, maybe cheated or something like that. So then the next day he wanted to go out. So we said, no, you can't go out. You just cheated, Big Ben. You just somehow you sold those books. I don't know what you did. So then, you know, we took him on our daily Sankirtan party around Paris. He came in. He was like the one who sat in the back and cleaned the truck and get the books out to the devotees. And we were in the parking lots. And when they were doing the parking lots, I was in the parking lot, you know, near Paris. And Pigpen was like, you know, arranging the books. And I saw him get out of the car. And, oh, God, this guy's going to... He went out. He started distributing books. And I was just stunned. I said, he did. He does distribute books. How is it possible? But he was so sincere, you know. So I walked up to him and I said, you know, I said, what's going on? I said, what's happening here? He said, Prabhupada, mercy. And Prabhupada, he want me to distribute books in class. He said, in class. He said, remember that class? And I'm going, yeah, yeah. Come on, keep telling me, Big Ben. Keep telling me about it, you know. He was like my guru, you know, Big Ben. It's like a Shiksha guru. I said, come on. He said, Prabhupada, so much mercy giving. He said, we have to distribute books. We have to pay Prabhupada back. I'm thinking, this devotee knows so much more about Krishna consciousness than I do. He's so much more deep. I said, that's because he got the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So if I worked very hard like him and try to give these books out, then I can get a drop of that mercy that he got from Prabhupada. So that's Big Ben. He went on to become one of the biggest book distributors in Europe. He got initiated. His name was Rasada. You ever meet Rasada? His brother's name was Gorachandra. He became a devotee. His brother came to take him back to Portugal. He said, where's that mad little urchin brother of mine? He walked in the temple and his brother sold him a book. And Pigpen, you know, he learned to speak quite well, and he wasn't so crazy anymore. He changed, and everyone loved him. Because everyone felt they had something to learn from him. That, you know, he was so humble, and like, you know, even on Sundays he was out just, you know, we'd work hard all week, but he'd take a book bag out and go on Sunday. And John Mastami, Gorpurni, you couldn't keep him away. All he could say was, Prabhupada's mercy. Because he knew what was Prabhupada's mercy. He received it. He was delivered by some special kripa. He got some special kripa. So he was always distributing books. Honest devotee. Never spend anything for himself. He'd only take, you know, clothes thrown away by devotees. Never took too much prasadam, and just always cleaning, very respectful of the devotees. And I kept thinking, who is this person? I said, maybe he was whoever he was before, but who is he now by the mercy of a pure devotee? Srila Prabhupada. So he became a big book distributor in his funny old bhakta pants. He got initiated, Rasada Das. And he was so happy when he got initiated. He chanted his bees like, you know, Prabhupada's mercy. Everything was Prabhupada to him. You know, Prabhupada's mercy, Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's prasadam. That's all he knew. You know, because somehow when he dove out of the bushes like the Loch Ness monster, you know, Prabhupada saw his intention. And then when he hid himself in the temple and grabbed on those feet, you know, everything was cleansed from his heart. So this, I see it as Guru Kripa. But we can get that Kripa also. You know, maybe we're not so fortunate as Pigpen. Maybe I shouldn't use that word anymore. Rasada was, but we just keep, you know, serving this mission, distributing those books, you know, introducing people to Krishna consciousness. That's what Prabhupada wants. He wants, Prabhupada was always like that. He was always result-oriented. He was always saying when he comes, oh, how many books have gone out? How many devotees have been made? How many temples have been established? This is preaching. Very intimate service. And from that we'll get the higher understandings of devotional service. And Pigpen then, Rasada, then he eventually went to America. And I heard he's still distributing books in America. The kind of devotee that you always hanker. You know, he's never a temple president, a sannyasi, GBC, No, but he's just a humble Vaishnava, but the kind of devotee, like Jayananda was like that. Do you ever meet Jayananda? Jayananda, he was a temple president in San Francisco, but he was so humble, he used to take the garbage out. He just, he cleaned, and he was always like that. So one devotee came to the temple, and he came in the back way, didn't know where the front was, and he saw this man cleaning the garbage cans out. And that man started speaking to him. This devotee who was cleaning the garbage can started speaking to him. And this devotee was so impressed with this devotee's Krishna consciousness, his humility, his realizations, his enthusiasm for service, that he later joined. He said, my realization was, if the garbage man at the Hare Krishna's temple is like this, then what must the rest of the devotees be like? Like, was it Narottam Das Thakur? Some pundits wanted to come and defeat him. So his disciples, they Sanskrit scholars, they set up as merchants outside of the city. So when the big Digvijay pundit came to defeat Narottam Das Thakur, he first met the merchants outside, and the merchants started speaking to him in Sanskrit. They got into a discussion. And so deep was their knowledge that this pundit was thinking, if just the ordinary Wallace shopkeepers know so much philosophy and have so much understanding of Sanskrit, what must the great Thakur be like? Narottam Das Thakur. So he left, and there was never any debate between that Digvijay. He left in defeat, humility, but because he met some of his disciples, Narottam Das Thakur's disciples. So Jayananda was like that also, that if you met him, then you were so impressed. So Rasada's like, if you ever get a chance to meet Rasada, then you grab hold of his feet and say, see me, mercy, mercy. Okay. So I think on that note, we'll finish. This is how people would spend their time in Vedic culture. They would come together and speak the glories of Guru and Krishna. And then they would go to bed in Prabhupada. They would dream of Ramchandra and Mahabharata and things like that. That was Vedic culture. Okay, so thank you for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki, Chisi Gornitai ki, Nushiva Sangam ki, all the assembled devotees ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.
Introduce Swami ki.